Hey, thank you for tuning into a Comic Talk 616 podcast production. Don't forget, check out comictalk616.weebly.com for all other podcasts produced by us at Comic Talk 616, as well as check out our Facebook with the same name, Comic Talk 616, or our Instagram, comic_talk616, to follow us and keep up with all of our up-to-date, you know, shenanigans and stuff that you might not get to hear about on the podcast. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show.
Well, you could rent like all three movies for like $20. So like, it's a perfect movie marathon because I think each movie is like an hour and a half. So yeah, if you can sit through like a Lord of the Rings extended cut,
oh yeah,
this will be cake.
There's also very little content, so there's not a lot of processing or figuring out. It's very much like Abraham Lincoln, heavy metal.
Yeah. So, yeah, I basically told him it's like mixed Doctor Who and Wayne's World together.
Which I love Wayne's World.
Wayne 2.
I got it. That took me a second. I was like, you don't know Wayne? Do you need me to explain Wayne to you?
No. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to the Pour Over podcast. that's how we do things. Some good banter. For those of you who haven't listened before, well, the one episode, basically what we're doing is we are... Here at Best Slope, we're just covering the Best Slope story, going over from the beginning to where they're at now, and a whole lot of in between. So, and then this week I have
Tori
and Cordero,
and so they're kind of like the one of the first ones that that he hired
an early adopter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After Max, right?
Yeah, I was the... Max was hired as the first manager, and I was the first employee.
Okay.
I was hired the day we opened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was... I guess it was funny, like, how Max was hired, because apparently he just, like, walked up to Tom and was like, I'm going to hang out here anyway, so you might as well pay me and tell me what to do.
That's the same thing I said.
Really?
Actually, yeah.
Is that how you... in my interview,
I was like, if you don't hire me, I'm still going to be here a lot. It's kind of like a threat. You really gotta spur Tom into action.
Is that just like a secret code? Is like if someone says that, be like, well, now we have to hire them. They said the word.
I don't know. Maybe Tom was just weak in the beginning and he hired
he's just
me,
weak.
And it's been a mistake ever since. Yeah.
So I was hired probably about a year after Tori. So not like one of the first, but you know, it came a little later. But I think Tom later told me that he hired me because I had correct punctuation on my email.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember him telling that. I think he's impressed with your...
Yeah.
So Cord had grammar and I was persistent.
Yeah, because he was a teacher, so I could see him being like, he's confident.
Yeah, which is cool. I got a good grade on the paper, I guess.
Yeah.
I wonder if he actually, graded the resumes. He, like, got out his red marker.
I mean, dude, when we first started, we had reading quizzes. So, I mean, like, if we got a new coffee, there was a whole paper about it. You had to know it, and then we'd all take a quiz. And, like, where it's from, and, where the elevation, and the tasting notes, and how it's processed, and what that processing looks like.
I took a test about the chemical compound of coffee.
Yeah.
Dude, that would be, like, a fun thing for, like, customers to do just, like, when they're drinking their coffee for no reason.
Just have, like, we could have cool little,
like
happy
molecule
coloring sheets.
Like, hey, you get a discount if you could figure this out. Aww. They're like Junior Rangers, except, like... Junior coffee snobs.
Yeah, just be like,
you're not an adult,
they can...
So what's a junior form of a snob? Booger?
Yeah.
A coffee booger.
Coffee booger. Like, are you a coffee booger?
Yeah.
Take this quiz.
Yeah. Or like, we'll have little pins that can go on your coffee booger vest. I'm going to completely steal the Park Service program for our shop.
Yeah.
Done.
Do it.
Yep.
I'm so stoked for this.
We're starting it tomorrow.
Yep. Tomorrow. Get out your vests, everybody. I'm bringing in tiny denim vests.
Tiny
and
denim
vests.
And
we're all wearing them.
You're gonna look like a gang.
Yeah.
I'm for it. Yeah. The coffee buggers.
Yeah.
Mesa County's gonna be like going around with like, gotta get rid of that riffraff, the coffee buggers.
Yeah.
All those caffeinated like, children.
Sharks and Jets. It's gonna be us versus the Jets.
The Jets. I'm gonna have to go to the other side of town and start the Jets now.
Yeah. One must.
Anyways, so. So let's go ahead and I guess start the story. So we kind of actually left off from when he hired with you. So I guess let's put some flashback music on and I guess tell us.
What was it
like when you first started? Because I know Tom originally said that he wanted an ice cream parlor, and coffee and an ice cream parlor are kind of like. Yeah. Not exactly opposite, but it's not ice cream.
Affogatos, man. Bring it all together. When I first started, it was just me, Tom, and Max. That was it. I think we're all figuring it out together. I think I was the only one. No, actually, Max worked in a coffee shop before, too. But I'd also worked in a coffee shop. I think Tom's the only one that had not worked in a coffee shop. But Tom's a science teacher. And he, like, figures everything out to its fullest potential. So, when I got here, Tom could still pour latte art. He had a, what's the thing called where you can tell the dissolved solids?
Oh, the refractometer.
He had a refractometer to understand the dissolved solids within each espresso shot to monitor how much was in there. Tom was, like, pretty solid on coffee by the time I showed up.
Do you have, like, a beaker set back there in, like, a white lab coat looking like the scientist?
That's what he wears under all of his clothes.
Like, the scientists, like, from the Muppets, just, like, making coffee concoctions.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, he's Tom by day, and then he pulls it aside. The regular t-shirt reveals the lab coat underneath.
Mm-hmm. Mad scientist coffee consumer by night. Yeah.
But, that was kind of cool. So, it's, like, even though, like, I'd had this experience in a coffee shop, it was nothing compared to Beslow. Because Tom had taken the time to learn things. And, like, though it may have been self-taught, and it wasn't self-taught. He went to professionals all around the state, and he got there, like, Scott Rayo, right?
Yep.
And, like, other coffee shops, and he learned from the people you should learn from. Whereas, like, you know, I went to coffee shops, and my manager was like, do this, because I think so. And I was like, all right, I'm a barista. And I came here and I actually learned why I do the things I do or why I shouldn't do those things. That was really, really cool. For Tom to kind of show to me and Max. It was a very detailed process. It was very intentional. We didn't do anything to ensure we could do it to the fullest extent. From the very beginning, I was incredibly confident in this place. I was like, this is my forever job.
So, did science ever fail Tom where he just made a disgusting drink? Because science said yes, but the palate of the tongue said no.
See, I want to say that, but that was more Max's shit.
I believe it with Max. Max was like, you know what would be good? Jalapeno and chocolate, which is good, but sometimes I'm sure it's disgusting.
But
like,
I would show up, and in the fridge, there'd be a gallon that just says Fruit Loops. And I was like, what are we doing here? Max is like, here's the thing. I wanted to make a Fruit Loop latte, but I didn't want to mash up Fruit Loops, so I steeped the Fruit Loops in a gallon of milk overnight, and then I pulled out the Fruit Loops, and now we have purple milk that we can make lattes with. And me and Tom were like, oh.
That actually does sound good. Like,
because it's lemongrass. Like, Fruit Loops taste like lemongrass. Right. You want to make a lemongrass latte, but getting rid of lemongrass, getting rid of the Fruit Loops, and just having Fruit Loop milk, like steeped Fruit Loop milk, that was an option. He always talked about the Old Bay latte. That never happened. But he always said on April Fool's he was going to make an Old Bay latte, but actually make it. And that's the joke, is you really ordered a latte with Old Bay seasoning, which is for fish, you know.
I think one of the better ones was the curry latte.
The curry latte is the worst thing I've ever had in my life.
The curry?
It was the grossest
thing.
You
think that would be good.
Right?
You can think whatever you want, but this is... I want to warn you right now, you should never have a curry latte.
I feel like... Okay, Wednesday. I'm going to order one for Steve to try and say it's really good.
Oh, I don't have any of the ingredients.
I think it's...
They're banished from the walls.
It's against our creed.
Tell me what you need and I will personally bring it.
All things bad.
All things bad. All things good in curry or bad in lattes.
Yeah. The other wild one was the bacon grease latte.
Oh yeah.
I heard about that. Tom told me about that one.
A good idea.
Liquid smoke. Remember Liquid
yes,
Smoke?
Yes, Liquid Smoke.
There was a Liquid Smoke face Max had, where he's
really?
Pretty sure he can make it work in any drink.
So I'm surprised then with, because I knew Tom was a teacher. I always figured yeah. maybe it was like English or history. He just seems like that kind of guy.
He's good at that too.
You know?
Yeah. He talked about Heart of Darkness or Moby Dick.
Nah.
Yeah,
we
he
have...
reads the classics. Feel free. Tom has opinions. Yeah.
I like the classics. I really enjoyed Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. I didn't like, what's the one Kafka book where the guy thinks he's a cockroach? I hated it because it's just like
Tom would know.
Tom would know.
I'm the grammar guy.
Yeah.
I was basically
I'm just
like
persistent.
I made this whole argument like in my class that it was like all metaphorical because the guy thought he was a piece of shit and he wanted to kill himself, and everyone's like, no, he was a literal cockroach, and I was just like, no. The guy's depressed and wants to die.
Yeah. I bet Tom would have an opinion.
I think you probably know that one.
Yeah, he probably
yeah. yeah, but I'm surprised. What's the cooking called where like you use science and chemicals?
Molecular gastronomy.
Yeah, I'm surprised you guys don't have some weird like science voodoo.
Well, is that where we turn coffee into like vapor and then we all huff it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
or like
jacked up that way.
Yeah.
I think he's a very practical person when it comes to his approach to it. So like Tori was saying, like the refractometer is something that we have that, you know, we haven't used it forever, but it's something that he knows works in the sense of like it's quantifiable in the data, but also that he can tell by the taste and correlate those two together and know that the data matches like actual, like obviously we don't really, the numbers don't matter if it doesn't taste good. So he's got that practical approach. So it's not just doing science to do science.
Right.
So
yeah,
he's very like intentional with his nerdiness.
Yes, it's true. The nerd is only used for good.
Only for good.
Only for good. Oh, yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to get chaotic with it, because then you might have a happy accident.
We have been we've had a couple chaotic moments. Things that we've tried that, you know, man. Scientifically, they should work. Creme brulee latte.
Yeah.
It's eluding me. And Tom, we can't figure
it out. They want it. They want it real bad. We even have a torch.
We
really?
I think we have
a
torch
yeah,
for
a torch.
It, but now we use it for other things.
Or flan. Ugh, I hate flan, though.
Flan.
I would,
latte.
You know, doesn't Starbucks have a flan latte? They used to.
Since
we have a very Hispanic household, because Alexa's parents come from Mexico, we eat a lot of it, and I just...
Do you like that texture?
I don't like the flavor.
Really?
I
see, most people have trouble with the texture.
I like the
tres
leche. Like, now, if you
yeah.
guys like had a tres leche latte,
definitely,
dude,
pour
it in my butt.
Because
it'd be so good.
Yeah, we've definitely thought about that before. That was a Max and Corey thought a long time ago, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I literally have no inclination to the palate or flavor profiles. I'm just here.
Sponge cake and milk. I think that's
yes.
really what it is.
Oh, no, I just mean, like, with all these, like, drinks, if anything's ever been created, it has not been me.
Uh-oh.
That is not my skill set. Like, Cord always, like, make a drink, and I'm like, that sounds weird. And then I drink, and I'm like, this is amazing. Because he's like, yeah, you put this food and this food together. I was like, I don't know about that. Doesn't sound like two things that go together. And, of course, like, that's how food works.
Right.
That will apparently never sink in, and I come up with no drinks. But again, I'm just here to support, and I can pour drinks, so it works out.
One of these days, you should just be like, come up with a drink and have like a crazy palate, but just like make plain coffee and just be like,
oh my dude,
I did
it's all
it.
In there. Here's the ingredient list, like 14 things.
Yeah.
And you're like, it tastes like a latte.
But
like,
make sure like they're completely different. Like have like tuna, and like corn, and then like carrot cake.
And
just,
like scientifically, cream cheese cancels out tuna, so you don't taste either one.
Right.
You know.
And then it just like all works it back way down just to regular coffee.
Yeah. That's a theory.
That's what I'm drinking right now.
Yeah.
Actually.
I made that's
tuna.
The tuna cream cheese carrot cake extravaganza.
Yeah.
That's what I named it.
From Ethiopia.
From Ethiopia.
You're a good chef. Yeah. You're a good chef.
So what else happened? So like you brought on, and then you were the first employee.
Yeah.
And then you guys were learning together.
Yes.
On how to run a coffee shop, because none of you knew how to run a coffee shop.
Right, exactly. And it was kind of funny because we all contributed these different things, where it's like, I think just coming from other shops in the past, I had ideas about structure or staffing or hours or like realistic time frames for training. Tom had the know-how with coffee and the equipment. He can fix anything. Yeah, this is our superhero team forming, huh? And then there's Max, who was Max. Like, right. He just brought Max to the table.
He was a people person, though. He's very extroverted, yeah. So it's just like he knew how to, like...
Yeah, exactly. So he was like, he brought people in. Every single person came in. He's like, how'd you hear about us? That's amazing that you're here.
He was the hype man.
Check out Google. Leave a review. Like, he was the hype man. Totally. So I was kind of like in the back, like trying to think like human resources, staffing, structure, movement, efficiency in my own ways. And then I would run that by Tom. And so he would incorporate that into the training programs and the equipment and like staffing and what we could afford and whatever. And then, yeah, Max just kind of laid down the law and brought in the people. And that was kind of like our little tripod for a while. And then we had a couple staff members just here, like, they were home from college. We'd only need them in the summer for a couple months. They
right.
We're on the register, things like that. And then...
Your goons.
Right. But then I think Devin. Have you... Devin or Baker?
Devin, yeah.
When she was hired, she was like the next, like, staple of Best Slope. Devin was here for it. She was in for the long haul. And when she first started, she was a barista. And then maybe about two years into her being here, a year and a half, she took over the bakery.
Right.
And now she is the baker extraordinaire that we all know.
Dude, those cookies.
Yeah, exactly. And so Devin, well, yeah, and I mean, our bakery is also quite an evolution too. Like, we had a bakery start in our kitchen, and then they decided not to operate. So Humble Honey is actually supposed to be a separate business that operated out of our kitchen. So we were never supposed to have a bakery. We were never supposed to do food.
Oh, so they were supposed to be a business in a business, yep. Kind of a indie contract.
Incubator kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, because like at the shop, we have like different tattoo artists and we have piercers,
exactly.
Right? And so like they work inside our building,
but they're not
their own,
your
they're
employees.
An independent contractor,
right.
Kind
and
of
so
thing.
They would cook in our kitchen. We'd buy the baked goods from them.
Breaking Bad cooking, right?
Huh?
Yes.
Meth, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The
yeah.
goods, the blue stuff.
Yeah, that's what
all
it
right.
was.
Cool.
And
how
so
do you keep the people coming back.
Yeah, you gotta spice it.
That's what you mean
spice.
By spicy latte.
Pumpkin spice.
Pumpkin.
Oh,
it's why do you think the entire world's wrapped up in pumpkin spice?
The meth.
Anyway.
Chili.
Humble Honey no longer operated. They kind of ceased, or they were done. So they were like, we don't have a bakery. And that's when Tom was like, well, here I go again. Time to learn a new skill. Let's use science. I'm going to bake. I'm going to do that. And, like, all of us were like, I'm so sorry. He's like, yeah, I don't really want to do it either. And then, because were you here when Hannah got hired?
I was hired the same week as Hannah.
Okay, cool. So, yeah. Cord and Hannah were the same time frame. So, Cord walked in. He's like, hi, I have experience. We're like, that's interesting. Hannah walked in with a plate of cookies and scones. It was like, I could bake. And we're like,
so you brought nothing to the table.
Yeah, in hindsight, I should have brought something.
Someone
was like,
brought
wow.
cookies, and you brought punctuation.
I brought correct.
Dude, it's useful. You have no idea how many documents we use here.
Oh, no, that's I am, like, the worst at, like, grammar. And this is going to sound terrible, but, like, it's funny because I am Jewish. But, like, grammar Nazis hate me. Because I am the worst, like, because, like, to me, it's just, like, I got, like, you know, so, like, I kind of know Spanish, and, like, I really studied Hebrew for a long time, and then English, and then, like, I never got to learn the language of the countries my parents came from, but I heard it all the time, so, like, nothing makes sense in my head, so, like, I look at English, and I'm, like, this is such a stupid language, and, like, I kind of just ignore it, but then I'm, like, I look so stupid sometimes because I don't know it. Like, I know it, but I don't know it.
There's a lot of arbitrary rules. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of, like, weird kind of things you have to remember about English.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's like,
we have our own questions. I guess I'm the guy.
I don't know the language that I speak, which is weird. Does that make sense?
I mean, I get it.
Like, I know Spanish if I listen to it, but I can't speak it. I can speak English, but
like,
I don't know.
You can understand
it.
Me, you can't say it back.
Right.
Well, I know, and I took Spanish for a long time, and I'm really bad at speaking, but I can write.
Yeah,
like, I can write it if I have like time to think, and I can hear it and I can write it, but I can't speak it.
Right, like
yeah.
I can swear.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
like
all day.
You know, like if my in-laws are talking to me, I know what they're talking about, but
right.
Like, I can't reply because I'm just like,
that's
cool. You had a rough day, and you want to know if I'm hungry. I guess I'm going hungry because I can't say yes.
Like, nothing.
No, they're learning. They're learning English really well.
Nice.
It's crazy. my son like knows Spanish better than I do, so he'll be bilingual. That's cool. I just know like four. I half know four different languages, so eventually they'll catch up, right?
Yeah. Well, you get him started. He'll take off. He'll be this like quadlingual person.
It'll be great.
Yeah, then he can teach you.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
All right, let's see. I know I've gotten sidetracked a lot here, so I'm gonna.
No! It's good. It's filler. Filler's great. People love it.
People love filler. People love that.
That's
fluff.
No. That's the whole point of this. Is like I want everyone to know and understand like what makes Best Slope. So.
See, but in a Best Slope way, I feel like I should have arrived here with a spreadsheet and an outline of what I was going to talk about, and then like pretty much stay in sequence because
use the checklist.
We have a couple checklists just for this moment, Cordero,
which we didn't use.
We have standard operating procedure for a standard operating procedure.
This is all true.
Like,
I get that. We literally have to have that for the shop. Like,
yeah.
So, I hate government in this way. But we have to have like an operations manual, and in the operations manual, we have to have what the operations manual contained for the operations manual. Like, it is so redundant. It's just like,
but yeah.
We tell people not to be dirty. Like, it's crazy because like they want standard like healing procedures and all that, but it's just like anatomy's a thing, dude. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm like me personally, I don't get sick. I'm like I'm just immune to everything apparently, you know. But like some people are like, they get a cold when they like step outside. So it's just like, come on, man.
Our mid shift checklist. I think the very first item on it is to complete another checklist. Cleaning or the stocking checklist.
Yeah. So you like checklists?
I think it's debatable. Tom is in love with checklists. He has expressed to us he really likes his book, The Checklist Manifesto. It's a real book. He owns it.
I think he told me about
that. He talks about it in earnest.
I'm sure.
And we have checklists about checklists. We have checklists that are going to create other checklists. And we have spreadsheets about spreadsheets and procedures about procedures. There's a lot of paperwork and a lot of organization, and it's super helpful. It's incredibly helpful. It's how you keep consistency. It's just not a thing that people think of. I think when they think of coffee shop, they're like, oh, coffee shop, it's where all those people just hang out, listen to music and like pour shots. It's like, oh, no, I take reading quizzes, I do checklists, I fill out spreadsheets, I format equations in Excel.
You have to kill a guy.
I had to kill a couple people, you know?
After doing a couple hours worth of dishes.
Yeah. And so being a barista is mostly spreadsheets and dishes here.
Uh-huh.
But it's a good gig. It's the best. And I think, but like to really go back to the heart of Best Slope, this is a community function. Like this place is about Fruta. It's about its people. It's about helping form community. It's about helping things grow. Like we're open to so many things.
Oh here. Yeah, I know that. Like I remember, what was it? It was like, I think the podcast we were doing our morning show here for not even like 3 weeks, and like Max and I were talking about really bad monster movies, and then him and I were just like, why don't we just have like a movie night here? And then it just happened. Because what was the first movie we watched? It was a really bad one. Teenagers from Outer Space.
That does sound right. And it was like right before Halloween. Was that the right one?
Yeah.
It was dope though.
Yeah.
It was
and then fun. We did the Western.
Oh,
it was the Western.
Yeah.
That was the one that I was scared of. Yeah.
And I think like that's what Tom has always said. Like basically when he hires anyone, like and Cord and I have since hired other people, like we've always looked for the thing that person not only brings to the shop in terms of employee, but also to the community as someone who can like reach out to a different part of Fruta or the Grand Valley that one of us hasn't done yet. So it's like, you know, we each have these different areas that we're involved in, and Tom has always said, if you want to do anything, do it. Like, again, like Tom's like, I don't need to be there. You just do it. You just reach out. You make it happen. Do that. So it's like we have poetry readings here with the bookstore. We have the movie nights with you guys.
Right.
I mean, obviously COVID's changed that.
It'll come back one day.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I know for us that we've just like, we've gotten to the point where we're just going to say like, fuck it, and just buy the licensing so we can just watch whatever movies we want when we can come back. You know? because I think we want to do like, I think we want to do Ghostbusters one time or just like any black and white movie, honestly. That's cool. Not like public domain. So then I guess Cord, right? So like she's doing things, checking lists, kicking butts,
yeah,
you know, taking lives.
Yeah.
And then someone offers cookies and you're just like,
and I put a period on after a sentence.
You had a period.
Yeah.
I think it's really essential to just dive in. I'm gonna go ahead and say Cord changed Best Lopes game for real. I mean, like, when we talk about things brought to the table, passion is what Cord has. For coffee, for this shop, for the staff members. Like, Cord is an amazing cook. He is he's always gonna be a coffee roaster. Now he has that amazing skill under his belt, and he, like, basically taught himself. Like, Cord brought passion. He changed the shop. So I'm gonna hand that over to him now with that big weight about.
So I don't know.
If it's uneventful, you're just gonna tank this whole episode, so no pressure.
Okay, cool. Alright, let's do it. I think this is the weirdest thing about Best Lope and the coolest thing about Best Lope at the same time, and why it functions so well is because when it was like the tripod of Tori and Tom and Max and Devin was there too, there was like everyone had all these passions, but none of them were about coffee, really, which was the crazy thing. And so I came to, like, the coolest coffee shop I'd ever been to and was like...
And no one
was like, I love coffee. Like, it's so cool. And, then, like, for... You guys have been over for, like, a year. And I was like, it was so cool. But that's kind of what makes it awesome, is because it's so much more than a coffee shop. That's why it works so well. But I was able to really, like, kind of learn more about my passion for coffee. And be able to just like Tom was like, yeah, take it, run with it, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And so it was good for the shop and for me too, because I was getting all stale and,
like,
stagnant.
I knew I was addicted to coffee. I knew that. Like, I have a huge problem. Like, so one time I was fasting, because you know, my church, we were like, okay, we're gonna fast for so many days, and I was like, cool, I'm gonna even fast coffee because, like, I really want to be dedicated to it. Worst decision of my life. Because this lady's just like, are you, like, coming off of heroin? Because, like, apparently I'm, like, having sweats and I'm just, like, irritable and, like, I'm just mean. And this lady's like, dude, you're, like, coming off of heroin. I'm like, no, I need fucking coffee. And, like, I remember that night, like, I had to, like, sit down and have alone time with Jesus and be like, listen, man, we both know I have a problem. Let's just agree to never do this again. And basically what I got spiritually is just like, this isn't healthy for you. Yeah, we're just...
Drink some coffee.
Stay addicted.
There are worse things
to
have addictions.
But, like, I didn't know that I actually had a passion for coffee until I started coming here, because it's just, like, I'm not going to lie, like, all the stuff that you make, like, you know, I'm just like, make me fucking whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, the crazy concoctions you guys come with, and I'm just like, this, like, flavor palette is just so good. And, like, at the shop, I talk about it all the time and stuff like that, and people are looking at me like, you're stupid, it's just fucking coffee. And I'm like, no, you don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah,
like Matt and I, we used to live together, and we were experimenting at our house, and we made this drink that we called Stormbreaker, but the reason why it was so strong that I think him and I almost stayed up for 48 hours straight. Like, it was so fucking strong, and, like, I swear to God I was going to have a heart attack. We were not worthy. It was... I'll have to have Matt tell you what we put in it last time.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys could try it.
I will not do that.
But it was so good, though.
We've got a couple customers that would do better at that than
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Matt.
I was, there's another Matt that might stand the test of time.
Because here's the thing. We didn't make it for flavor. We made it for, like, strength, and we did it just... You know, it's like one of those things where you're like, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. That's exactly what was going on, and we were like, we definitely shouldn't do this. Oh, well, we didn't have to work in the next couple of days, so we were just like, fuck it, let's just do it.
Oh.
Yeah, the Matt we're talking about, frequently I give him a cup of something that I just refer to as motor oil. I mean, I think it's usually like, it's like 4 to 6 shots in a large coffee.
In black coffee.
Like, that's a lot of coffee.
He goes hard.
And then he'll come back, and he'll get like a cold brew with a shot in it.
God damn.
So I mean, like...
Is he a zombie?
No, he's incredibly efficient. I think he's good at his job. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. he channels that caffeine into to making some.
I know. I drink a lot of coffee. Yeah. So like the bag that. So not this bag that we just bought, but the bag before, most of it was drank by me because it's just like, I'll drink like a pot or two a day.
Yeah.
It's a problem. I mean, it's not a problem. It's a problem, but it's not a problem.
It's like, not a problem.
It's not affecting my health.
Yeah.
It keeps my mood like level, right? Like if I'm at a consistent caffeine high, then like everyone's good.
It's true.
I went to the doctor once and I was like, hey man. Actually, probably just once, yeah. I was like, hey man. I drink a lot of coffee. Like, should I not? And he goes, oh, you like work in coffee? Because I told him the story about what I do and everything. He's like, oh, you work in coffee? I just bought an espresso machine for my house, and we just started, like, geeking out about coffee. And I never got a no from him, or I never got
Well, the answer's no, then.
Yeah, I never got a...
You're fine.
I mean, I don't think there's anything that's, like, scientifically, like, you drink coffee, you will die.
Yeah.
It's not nicotine.
I think it's
not
just,
cocaine.
If you eat the berry raw...
Yeah,
or you get diarrhea. I'm not sure what it is.
It's
I mean,
it's
anything
hard to
you
digest.
Can die. You can die from anything. It's true.
But death by coffee is like a good way to go.
Yeah, that's mostly dehydration. There's other things involved. So.
There's water in coffee. That's not how science works.
Yeah, beer is also very hydrating.
I mean, as long as it's not decaf. For
yeah. Anyways, so you get on. You're passionate about coffee, so I guess where does the game change, I guess, for you, right? Like, you're super passionate about coffee. What did you notice when you first came in here? Like, man, these guys don't really like coffee that much. I got to change it.
No, I think they just took a really different approach to coffee that I had never thought about. You know, like, I'd worked in shops for about 5 years up till working here. And, you know, it was always just that, like, coffee tastes good. Let's make it good and drink it. And then if people like it, then we did our jobs. And, you know, like, finding Tom's, you know, approach at it with scientific knowledge. Like, boom, blown away. Obviously, it's...
Would you do, like stand in the back with lab coats and stuff like that?
Yeah, we used...
You, like, had a hunch and you'd, like, pull the chains and...
Uh-huh.
You'd yell at me, call
like,
you Igor. We
had the test tubes and, like, we poured coffee into one thing and it, like, foamed up all crazy. Yeah.
There's a bunch of weird lights and colors flashing. There was a
mist,
lightning
everywhere.
Storm.
Yeah.
Him randomly selling, like yelling, "It's alive."
Yeah, there's some.
Yeah. Or dead sometimes.
Oh.
Some weird music, piano music in the background. Yeah.
Okay.
It all happened. Yeah.
I'm all for that.
That's normal.
Yeah. And then the Cloud Nine was born.
That's it.
yeah. No, so that kind of changed my perspective on things, and just like the whole people aspect of it, and being such a big part of the community. I mean, obviously, I think that's the cool thing about most coffee shops that I've ever worked at. It's like, it's always this community minded thing, but Besla pushes it to the max. Like we have, like people go hard on that here, which is so cool. I thought that I was good at service before. I thought that I was like, you know, really thinking about the town that I live in and making sure everyone's super stoked about everything. And I got here, I was like, man, I was wrong. All I was doing was making coffee.
Yeah.
That's all I was doing.
No, I told Tom this last time, like, the service here is, like, unprecedented. Like, the huge sense of community building within a single shop is crazy. Like, we aim for that at the tattoo shop that we're at now. We always definitely try that at Dark Valley, but I think when we moved, we wanted to take it, like, to another step. Because I think the one thing that coffee and tattoos relate, they're both very personal, honestly. Like, legitimately, like, marriages and relationships start with a cup of coffee sometimes. Like, legitimately.
Yeah.
You know? And same with friendships. I think Max and I's friendships literally started with coffee, you know, and it's extremely personal. I think if you don't take the business personally, I don't think you could survive, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All of my best friends right now work here, so.
Yeah, and all of your other best friends were from the other coffee shop.
All of my friends are coffee people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some of my close friends now are just people who I met because they come to get coffee.
Right.
You know,
Yeah.
It's weird. And we know, like, the entire town now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I moved to Fruita because of this shop.
Right.
Yeah, I lived in Junction. I wanted to make friends. I was fresh to the valley. And, like, I was like, oh, Hot Tomato is going to open a coffee shop? I will meet cool people. I must work there. I want friends. I want to have a community.
Right.
And go figure that's exactly what's
happened. It was super sad when I moved out of Fruita, you know, because now I'm, like, basically in Palisade, you know, and I've been trying to get Alexa to, like, move back into Fruita, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But we're actually have this house in the Redlands that we're going into. But I think eventually having a spot in Fruita to come to, like, to nestle in would be nice, because it's a nice, like, small town vibe that's also not, like, touristy. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. Yeah.
Like, you go to Aspen or, like, even Steamboat or Uray, it's like, they're nice small towns, but they're super touristy.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
It's got a different feel, but Fruita's, like, a very good middle. Like, it feels like a small town without feeling...
Like, we get a tourism boat for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, tourism is a big part of our economy, but at the same time, during a pandemic, during the winter, like, Fruita still exists.
Right.
Like, I mean,
businesses here don't fail. It's weird. Like, yeah. I think feel like business is closing Fruita.
Fruita
because,
shows us.
Right.
Yeah.
But Fruita also, as a city, is just really supportive. And as a community, I feel like everybody's very local business minded.
Yeah.
So I think that's happening.
Yeah, because when I lived here, Matt and I would buy our meat from, like, that butcher down there.
Mm-hmm.
Or try to as much as often.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, like, if we wanted to hang out, because most of the podcast is here in Fruita, like, we went, like, I don't drink, but in general, like, we have friends, we'd go to the Copper Club because it's, like, it's a cool hangout spot.
Yeah.
You know, and even, I think today, even living across town, like, when I have friends that come from Salt Lake or other places, I bring them here because I'm just like, dude, have you had Beslo? Like, I have a friend who works for Black Rifle Coffee Company, and, like, I send him stuff all the time, too.
Nice. Cool.
So.
Yeah, those guys have come through here a couple times. Always,
yeah.
Always drop off, like, samples and stickers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so you come here, and then I guess you start changing the coffee game. What is so is like when you, Devin, when you guys were here, is that kind of like when, like, the team solidified and that was like, this is it, this is Beslo? Because of course, like, there's always the origin story, but then there's always a part where, like, this is the team. When do you feel like that happened? Like, when was the A team, like, solidified?
Because,
like, it's always evolving, but, like, when was it, like...
I would say a year ago.
A year ago.
For sure. I think it's when obviously Max left.
Yeah.
Oh, so when you guys kicked out Max.
When we kicked out Max, yeah.
Yeah.
I hope he hears
no,
this.
No, I mean, when you gotta fill that void somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we stopped making curry lattes.
Yeah.
We got real. No.
Yeah.
No, I think it's just the point that the business was at and the people that we had, it felt like a time to make, like, some actual mature business decisions. You know, we had to figure out what our structure was going to be. It was fun. We had, you know, Tori and Tom together in the early days with Max and figured out how to do a coffee shop. And then it was time to be like, okay, now that we know how to do it, how do we do it really well?
And how can we replicate? How can we be efficient? How can we, like, keep this going? And I think, yeah, we didn't have a lot of systems in place until probably, like, a year and a half ago that we have in place now.
Right.
And so I think me and Cord and Tom actually spent a lot of time brainstorming what we wanted. I mean, we were writing 5, 10, 20-year plans about what we saw for each of our departments. So Cord ended
and
up...
Devin, too.
Yeah, Devin, yeah. Sorry. Me, Cord, Tom, and Devin. And so, like, we all had these... Devin had the bakery in the kitchen. Cord is coffee and roasting and just the front of house. Tom is the business and the upkeep and, like, the finances and the brain. And then I became kind of like HR. Like, I'm staff.
You're the liver.
Yeah, huh?
You're
I'm the
liver.
I keep everything clean. But it's like, you know, because, like, I think our staff is the most important thing to us. Like, the staff community you have and, like, how everyone functions here is also how they give back. So I kind of became the humans manager. And so, like, we all kind of thought about what we wanted for Beslo because we'd gone through a lot of transition, like, a year and a half ago.
Right. So you guys found out the algorithm, but you were doing the constant math checking to make sure the algorithm was
right.
consistent.
Yeah. And so then we hired a couple more people who are very, like, they are in it. And so now it turns out, like, our whole staff is very dedicated. Like, we kind of have people who are just, you know, they had a job, they didn't, like, now they don't have a job, but, like, now we have people who are, like, they work at Best Slope. This is their job. They want to stay here. And so it's, like, cool to know that we have that kind of, we have that now. We have the staffing and the drive and the commitment that I think Core, Devin, and Tom and I all feel, but we have it even just in our staff. And it's, I think, because we've created these systems, we've found that, that kind of, we've locked it in. What'd you call it, the forever? I don't know what you said, like, 5 minutes ago. Because you asked if we, like, we locked it in.
Oh, the foundation.
The foundation, yeah.
Yeah.
We're kind of like, we locked our foundation.
Yeah, I think it was kind of like getting to the root of what we had already been doing, and, like, really, like, working out the description of what it was that we had been doing that was being so successful, and then kind of taking that, those roots, and just really diving into how to reinforce that and do better.
Yeah, you guys definitely, absolutely, definitely showed that during the pandemic. Like, I think, legitimately, I think any other small, like, craft coffee shop anywhere else might have failed if they weren't following your guys'.
I guess shut down for
right.
a while.
What's the word I'm looking for? Not ethics. Standards. I guess we'll say standards, right? Because
yeah.
they would have failed without, you know, without, because you guys are so community oriented. So I don't think the community would have. I don't think they could accept that for you guys to fail, right? Plus, like,
yeah.
you know, plus, like, the craft that you guys do is, like, because, you know, some people will support local business because they're good, but not as much if, like, they kind of suck. Because you're like, they're not the best coffee, but they're cool people, so I support them. You know, but you guys are actually good at what you do. Plus, you're very efficient at it. So I think with, like, that trinity of those three things, I think we're able to thrive, have you guys thrive through the pandemic, legitimately.
Yeah,
not a lot of businesses can say they did that.
Honestly, yeah, we did okay. We
yeah.
really did.
You did the okayest.
Yeah.
We did very okayest.
We're the world's most okayest baristas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Proud of that.
I think it was just because we've always, you know, we have people of different backgrounds as far as what they find passionate about in this business. We were able to, you know, talk about that openly before the pandemic. And then once the pandemic started, we were able to, we knew each other's strengths and weaknesses, and we knew how to talk to each other and create something and be creative and figure out how to get through it. And, you know, it was just really open communication and creativity, thinking about what's the weirdest thing that we can do and make it work.
Yeah. Well,
a push by your foot doorbell.
Or the walk up too. Like
yeah.
The fact that you guys stayed open, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, there were times where, like, I just needed to get out of the fucking house.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh well, Best Slope's open,
yeah.
thank fucking God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd come out here just to get out of the house just because
yeah.
like, dude, I wanted.
And that was most of the people that came through here in the,
yeah.
in the last
something.
Couple months.
Like,
you know?
We would, Steve lives, like, right behind you guys essentially. And so, like, we do D&D sessions, and, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, so, like, we can't go out to eat or, like, go get pizza or whatever, but we're like, you know what, fuck it, we're gonna walk to Best Slope, run through, you know, bring the whole, like, 40 people that aren't supposed to be hanging out with us, go grab coffee, and then go, you know, play some D&D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was cool. It was also nice to know that we were still, like, keeping things going for the community, you know, in a safe way. We were able to be that happy spot for people.
Right, that's
like,
so
oh,
you're important.
Still open, like, thank you so much.
You were
stoked.
You guys were a coffee break for the pandemic.
The health benefits of joy are not really known, but, like, people don't think about it. Like, happiness, contentment, joy, normalcy, those are all really good for your health. Like, that's important.
Right.
And so, like, even when we're all a little nervous, we're all trying to figure out what's supposed to happen, to, like, to have that little bit of normalcy, a little bit of, like, man, just holding a warm cup, that is such a source of happiness.
Oh, yeah.
For me and so many people.
Absolutely.
To provide that, like, we were, I mean, it sounds cheesy, but, like, we were honored that people would come here to find that.
Right.
And, like,
yeah.
the whole time, even if we were struggling to figure out how to make it work or things were different, people were there with us the whole time. Like, they were patient and we were patient. And, like, we were very, very fortunate to have this community to figure out how to run this, because
right.
Like I said before, coffee brings communities together, and it starts and, you know, it can start things, it can heal things, and it could, like, end things, you know, in such a good way. Like I told Tom, like, I wrote a book or a series of poems, you know, called Coffee Shop Stories that I actually wrote here. You know, a lot of it is about, like, people interactions between coffee, like how people fall in love, or, like, if someone's, like, hurting, like, they go get coffee and they talk it out with their friend. Or maybe they're by themselves and, like, they find self-resolution and healing while drinking a cup of coffee, like, in the rain at a coffee shop where it's relaxed and they can self-reflect. You know, in it's such a cool thing that during a pandemic that you guys were able to, like, still do that at some capacity is important, right? Because it's one of those things, like, it's... I think people really underestimate, like, the symbolic power of a cup of coffee. I legitimately think so. Like, it's so underrated. And I think, like, people who love coffee, I think they subconsciously just get that, right? They know what it means.
Yeah.
I mean, who hasn't had a really awesome, memorable time in a coffee shop?
Right.
Right.
You know, funny story. I had a roommate one time, and I didn't actually know this person very well, but I think they had decided that if you're a roommate, that you were a best friend of someone. And I was like, I don't really know you. The point is, I'm going not deep into that. But one day, she came home fairly inebriated, and she was telling me how, like, you know what, Tori, good for you that you think being a barista is helpful. That's so great that you can feel satisfied just being a barista. She's like, I go around the world, and I teach yoga, and I help people, and what you do is just so small. And I was like, nah. No, actually, what I do is pretty big. Like, and I'm pretty proud of it. Like, but for her to be like, congratulations on thinking that being a barista is helpful. I was like, it's incredibly helpful.
Was she being sarcastic?
No.
I can't really
No,
tell.
She's really like, you think you can make change in just pouring coffee? And I was like, yeah.
No.
Yeah, totally.
Like,
that's exactly
like,
what
like,
I think. Thanks for knowing.
No, like, legitimately, like, who knows? Like, a couple comes up here and, like, the first cup that they get could be the first step towards their marriage, towards their life.
I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
And also, like,
you've caused people to get married.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And I've been on the giving and the receiving end of having the worst day of my life, or someone had the worst day of their life, and someone gave me a free coffee at a coffee shop, and that helped so fucking much. And I've done that for people too. Like, you can tell they're not good, and you're like, you know, on us today. It's on us. Just have a good day. I hope things are all right. And, like, that little act of kindness is huge. Like, I remember that person who gave me that cup of coffee. And I'll never forget that. And it's so meaningful to me. Like, I hope that every day we can do that for someone, too.
I always think about that group that came a lot last year, 2 years ago.
Their
mom had
died.
And they, you know, they were all here for a week, all the siblings. And they just, like, right at close, they would come and hang out here, like, every day. And they were like, this is awesome.
We needed this.
Yeah,
yep.
It was like their happy spot through all of it. So it was, I mean, we do that for everyone, wherever they are in their life, I feel like.
At least we hope we can.
Yeah.
Because people at other coffee shops have done it for us. We know that's what this is about.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that's like, I mean, spiritually for me, you know, like, I'm someone who believes very strongly about, like, biblical aspects. You know, and for me, it's like, Jesus says, like, love everyone, no matter what. You know, and I think coffee gives people the ability to do that. It is crazy. It's crazy. Like, you go to a coffee shop and it's just like this bubble of, like, it doesn't matter about what you believe, who you love, color your skin. All that is negated when you're, like, sitting at a table talking to someone with a cup of coffee. Like, it changes lives. And, like, I know we're talking it up, but I mean, like, think about it. Like, you go to, like, the East, and, like, there are cafes all around where, like, men and women talk and, like, they build communities around it, you know? It's crazy. Like, coffee builds communities, and communities builds people and brings people together to, like, make them stronger, to survive, to heal, to love. And it's just like, I think Beslow is a perfect representation of the power of coffee and what it can do. Legitimately.
Well, yeah, I'm,
you know,
I'm flattered.
Yeah.
No, like, legitimately, you know, like I said, I told Tom last week, is it's like when Matt and I first came here, because Matt was like, oh, there's this coffee shop, like, I want to go check it out. you know, we invited our friends, and like you said, we interact with Max, and like we kind of just knew, like, as a podcast, we're like, we need to do something with these guys, you know. And that's when we started doing the live morning show here, and then we did the movies, and now we're doing like a coffee flash event, you know. And I always make this joke at the shop when people like drink the coffee that we're really like, this is really good. And I'm like, well, I'm not obligated to say this, but Best Lip's the best lip coffee, yeah, legitimately in the Rockies.
Not under contract, but.
You know? Yeah. And they're like, you're just saying that because you're a sponsor. I'm like, well, yes and no, but like legitimately, like they're the best coffee shop that I've ever had, you know? And it's like, it's not just about flavor, but it's about like atmosphere. Because like I said, like I have friends that like, when they come around from the country to visit, like, we come here because I'm like, you guys have to have Best Lip now. And we send coffee to our family members in Mexico, and they're addicted. They're like for it. It is just like, even that, it's just like, they come here. It's like, again, it's building community, you know, like they're coming out of state, and we catch up with a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You know, we'll kind of close off with this, but it's just like, I remember my friend was having a really hard time. He was going through things like spiritually and emotionally, and just like, he's just having rough, and so he came down just to get away. And I was like, dude, we're gonna go to Best Lip. And I remember him just like sitting out like on the patio for like 2 hours, just talking, drinking coffee. I think we had like 4 cups or whatever. You guys know my friend, the white dude with the tattoo face?
Yeah.
Yeah, blonde guy, Cody.
Yeah.
Butthole. Yeah.
That's what I call him too.
Yeah.
No.
Legitimately, if you ever see him again, just call him Butthole.
Just put it on the ticket.
Do it, then please.
Just like,
but like,
what if just make sure we're talking about the right guy.
Yeah.
And then like, people walk up, we're like, uh-oh.
You can't miss it because he's got a big old like Greek Cairo like on the side of his face.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. So like, I just remember like just being here and just like us talking, and you know, and like I remember he left that day just like feeling better about himself, and I. Coffee.
I mean, yeah. I mean, psychologically. I have learned, like, it's funny, they talk about the psychology of dates. If you go to a date at a bar, if you go to a date at a coffee shop, you have a higher percentage of going on a second date. Why? Because, okay. Yeah, that's because crazy. Depressant versus stimulant. Stimulants bring out a lot of good in people.
Right, I think.
And depressants,
not as much.
Okay, yeah, bars are, like, I think more likely for a one-night endeavor.
Yeah.
And coffee shops are more likely for a second date and real foundation. So, like, you're also more likely to have a better experience with the person if you go have coffee than if you have drinks.
Oh, absolutely.
My like, first date was coffee.
Yeah. Alexis and I's third date, yeah. Or the continuation of second date. She never went home the second date. She actually never technically went home after that either.
So you guys are still on your second date?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went from first date. Right, we went from first date to like just getting married.
Oh.
No, yeah, but like,
I know, but it was so like our date forever.
Like our third date was just like, you know, we woke up and I was like, "Have you had Best Lip?" And she's like, "What?" And I'm like, "All right." You know.
Well,
and then she's in love with Rocker Mint, and then now she just doesn't want to ever come here again because it's not there.
Yeah, so stopped it. I know.
She brags about it all the time.
Does she?
She likes the pumpkin spice. She'll be back.
Do pumpkin clouds come back?
Yeah.
I made her one the other day.
Okay, good.
Yeah. She did love that.
Good.
It is. We're basic as fuck when it comes to the pumpkin spice.
Because
it's good.
You know what?
Ours is
everyone's
good, man.
Basic. It's for a reason.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's only basic if you go to Starbucks for it.
And
so.
Also, as a recovering Starbucks employee, as Tom calls me, I did used to work at Starbucks.
You're in recovery?
I'm in you're always in recovery. You never really... Or not in recovery.
Until you're in remission.
Yeah. Okay. but the point is, I can verify that the pumpkin spice they use at Starbucks is a debatable substance. It is just, it's scary, man.
It's scary. Like, don't tell me that.
She's got PTSD.
Dude, it's a very thick substance.
Gloopy,
it is gloopy. It takes up a good portion of your cup.
So
it
when like
just...
a blonde girl just like yells for Appuccino, do you like go into like post-traumatic stress?
I have memories.
Like shock?
I have memories, yeah. There's a reason I don't think we have blenders here. So I don't know what happens.
Is that like your trigger? You just hear a blender and you're just like, drive through.
No, man. I actually, the drive through, the ping, ping, ping. Oh, we won't get into that. That's a whole other story.
That's a whole other episode.
Yeah. I'm glad to work here.
Yeah. Awesome. No, well, thank you guys so much. I appreciate you guys taking your time. Yeah. And
thanks,
like,
for doing this.
No, I love it. Like I said, I want people to know how awesome this coffee shop is, and whether they can buy it online and get that experience, or willing to travel to get this experience. Like, I think they should. And I think people underestimate the power of coffee. And I think those who bring communities together deserve to... There's a lot of negativity in the world, right? And I think those who can spread... Who spread positive and be loving, they deserve to be... They deserve to have a voice heard. And I absolutely want to do this.
Good news is still news.
Right.
Yeah.
Good news is good news, whether it's fake or not.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, but I think people... I've gotten a lot of positive feedback about the first episode. Like, people love it, and I think they're going to continue to love it. Even if it's a limited series, I think it's always just going to be good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be the best. Thanks. The best Sloke.
Coffee's the bomb.
It is.
That was so wise. So much wisdom from Cord right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Coffee's most excellent.
Yeah.
You have to watch it.
Coffee's heavy. Heavy metal. Anyway. No, remember that part.
When you
that's
watch it,
that's my favorite part.
When you watch this, I expect a drink called the Wild Stallions to come out.
Well, I've got drinks in mind for that, whatever it is.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, thank you for tuning in. I'm Jake.
I'm Tori.
Cordero.
And then, like, as always, go ahead and go to bestslokecoffeeco.com, buy some of their coffee stuff, their merch, and then the social medias. I got it wrong on the intro
best
part.
BestSlope_coffee is our Instagram.
I think I put BestSlope_coffeeco.
Which, I mean, once you start typing in Best Slope,
you'll find it.
Yeah.
And
search
then just
functions are dope.
Best Slope Coffee Co. on Facebook. And, you know, give them a like and all that stuff. It's worth it. I promise you.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of The Pour Over. Hey, if you really enjoyed what you listened to and you're really enjoying Best Slope, I definitely suggest by going to bestslopecoffeeco.com and ordering some of their coffee. They've got this Mexico blend that's got just a phenomenal aroma and amazing taste. As well as, be sure to find them on Facebook, give them that like, you know, and kind of follow them and keep up to date with what's happening with the shop and, you know, deals and merchandise that might be coming out for them, as well as all the behind the scenes stuff and cool happenings on their Instagram at bestslopecoffee_co. And you'll know it's them by finding the little bear icon that is their logo. As well as, don't forget to again check out comictalk616.weebly.com or to find us on all the social media to check out other Comic Talk 616 productions and podcasts. You guys have a great week.